Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning, and it's good to see so many of you. Let us, after we have been singing, pray together. Everyone can be seated. We will pray together and get started on our topic. Let us pray. Our gracious and merciful Lord, once more we come into thy presence this day with grateful hearts for thy provision and for thy providence as thou hast led us day by day up to this point. And as we may experience that even the planning of this camp may continue in the way that we have anticipated it, that topic after topic may be conducted and the meetings may be held according to our program, we thank thee, Lord, for thy care in all these details and in all details of our lives. We thank thee, Lord, for thy caring hand as thou hast provided even this day the food and drink that we needed, and the strength in our bodies to participate in this conference, in this camp. And Lord, as we look toward thee to speak to our hearts, we pray that thou would send thy Spirit among us, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down, and that thy Spirit may use these words inspired, that they may touch our hearts and challenge us, challenge our vision, challenge the way we look at life and work and the calling that we have received from thee, and that our lives may be transformed more and more into the image that thou hast predestined us for. And we pray, Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be exalted even this morning in the various meetings that we have, and that thy word may be supreme in all that we do and all that we think. Go before us, Lord, we pray, in the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this morning we would like to speak about one other aspect of this week's conference topic, and that is wisdom's calling. We'll just briefly refer to the introduction that you have had with Pastor Beeky, where you have laid the foundation for all that you were going to learn and discuss about wisdom. And I will just be brief about this because this should still be fresh in your memories. But it is good to remind us of these things even as we get started today. You learned about who wisdom is. The Lord Jesus Christ in person, he is wisdom, and in him alone is wisdom. And often when you read Proverbs, you notice that it's like a person speaking to you, and we may identify that person with the Lord Jesus Christ. You also have mentioned what wisdom is. Wisdom is life. Wisdom is knowledge and understanding put into practice. And actually, some of the topics that we are talking about, they are specifically dealing with this this put into practice. We touch on your friends and on your words, and even today on the calling that we have in life. And you also discussed how to get this wisdom, that in the end, true wisdom is only obtained by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the topic of today, we touch on one of these practical areas, how wisdom translates into our daily lives, and especially in the area of our work as a calling from the Lord. So I will just briefly speak about why do we work. I read an article somewhere that in a way this topic could be very brief because some researchers, they mentioned that youth loves to work. The youth isn't lazy. But they love to work, and that's one of the things that Proverbs is putting forth, that we should be eager to work and not be lazy. But that wasn't the end of the topic, of course. It's good that you love to work. But of course, we ask ourselves, why do we work? And there may be various reasons why you like to work. And I've listed some of these reasons here. Why do we work? And what are your motives? Well, some of these motives, of course, you can think about that yourself. Sorry that sometimes I'm also turning to the screen because I don't have the laptop here in front of me. So please accept my apology that sometimes my back will be facing to you. I will keep it as short as possible, all right? Some of the motives that we have to work may be to buy your things. That's also what the report said was actually motive number one. If you ask the youth of America, of course that's a very general group, right? But if you ask them, then one of the first motives was, well, we need our money to buy our things and to participate in whatever our youth culture prescribes. And with that comes a sense of independence, of course, easily understood, right? If you need your father's money, then you also need your father's approval. While you feel that when you get your own money, then you don't need as much of his approval. And of course, we could debate whether that is true. Another reason to work could be to gain experience. And the research paper that I saw also said that the youth today is more conscious of its choices. Instead of just doing any job to make some money, a lot of young people try to find a job, for example, in the summer, to prepare themselves for the work that they would really like to do. By the way, could I have a bit of water up here? To gain experience, and also it would look good on your resume later on to say that you have held jobs in the area of your training. Other young people would simply say, well, I need to work in order to survive. Maybe at home there's not a lot of money left, and they feel that if they don't work, they really come short. Now, of course, the question that was not answered in this general research paper was, do we work in order to glorify God? And that is one of the key questions that we are dealing with here this morning. Do we work to glorify God? That's the topic that we are actually looking at today. And this is what we try to cover this morning as an outline for this topic. So first we will speak about the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, about work in general. We will also speak about then Proverbs about the idea of success. What is success and how do we define success? And then I thought to speak on some of the pitfalls on this way of wisdom. Because even as we go through the verses from the book of Proverbs, I sense that in general these things sound familiar to us. And you will see that these things, they sound familiar to us. Because most of us are raised in an atmosphere where work is encouraged, where we try to teach each other that we work for the glory of God. And still I thought there are some pitfalls that are more particular for us. There are some areas where we may come short, and that's where we will concentrate some of our time and then conclude our discussion. Sorry, I really need some water. Thank you. Thank you. So first then, we read some of the verses in the book of Proverbs about work. And what I would like to do as the... you're fine. You're doing good. Yeah, you don't know, but here's like a secret cooperation going on. And so far it's going very well. What I would like to do, we are going to read a number of scripture verses. And I thought instead of me reading all these verses out loud for you, I thought that we may actually do it like this. I see as many men, many women. So as we start on the book, these are the verses from the book of Proverbs about the path of wisdom. What does the book of Proverbs say about work as we walk on the path of wisdom? What does wisdom say about work? So there's going to be a number of verses about wisdom, and I will just ask that the women read together out loud these verses. That's the best way for you also to realize what's going on. So these verses, we can just read it together. The women will read it together, verse by verse, and then afterwards, the men are going to read the verses about folly. All right. So let us just read it together, and I cannot help you really, but the women will read these verses together. All right. Honor the Lord with thy substance. All right. All right, so, here we change now to what the Bible says, what the Proverbs say. Wonderful. Right, thank you. So now we will read the verses from Proverbs about the path of folly, about work. So men, I have to call on you to read these verses. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Desire of the slothful. All right, now we are going to see the verses that more clearly put a contrast between wisdom and folly. Of course, you have already learned about the book of Proverbs that many of the verses have this structure of contrasting, right? The wise men and the foolish men as contrasted to each other. And I think we can just read it together, right, to be fair. So let us read these verses together that speak about the contrast clearly between the wisdom and the foolishness regarding work. So let's go. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness, be a sure reward. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Alright. So we have covered many verses in the book of Proverbs that either spoke about what wisdom says about work, or what it teaches about the fool and his work. And we also have seen some of the verses that put a clear contrast between these two, a negative and a positive, and how the wise is blessed in his work and the fool is not blessed by his laziness. So I've tried to, because we don't have time to study each verse, I've tried to summarize what wisdom says and what folly is in terms of work. So let's just look at the contrast. So what is work? Well, according to wisdom, work is a means to glorify God. Whereas according to folly, work at best is a means for self-realization. Now that is a foundational, a fundamental difference when it comes to work, even in our world today. Like I said, we can easily research, and we have figures that youth wants to work, and we like to be actively engaged in work, and we want to make money. And yet there is this fundamental difference, whether you look at work, even at part-time jobs, and as you're just starting to work, whether this work is a means to glorify God or a means of self-realization. And self-realization, I mean, it is just to basically promote who you are. And we hear that all the time around us, don't we? You have got to know yourself and your skills and all that is in there within you. And you have to make sure that you realize your full potential. That you show the people what you are worth. And that's also why you don't just be satisfied with any job, but that you really need to find jobs that you can express your full potential and you show your real worth to the world. That is contrasted by what wisdom says, a means to glorify God. And basically what we mean when we say a means to glorify God is that we are always pointing away from ourselves towards God. That we want to express, even in our work, that God has blessed us with these skills, that God has given us certain potential as our Creator, and that we want to show others that this is how God has made us, and this is what we are able to do. Wisdom says work is a God-given duty. It's a blessing to work. Even Adam was called to work in paradise, even before sin entered this world. Work is not, as such, one of the curses that came after sin. And yet that is how many other people do look at work today. If you can avoid work, you should. And you only should work if you can't avoid it. It's a lot of people are working with resentment in their heart. It's something you have to do, but if you could afford not to work, you would leave it. Wisdom says work is a calling to use the resources that God has provided to us. The resources of nature, the resources of creation, we are called to use. That's part of our work. While foolishness says we are free to either use or waste the resources God has provided. And the same goes for the resources of our talents and our time. Wisdom says it's a calling that we have from the Lord to use our talents and to use our time. We have read verses about the fool. Even when it is winter, he says, well, it's too cold now to plow and he will just stay at home and take it easy. Well, that was the particular time that in that context, in that culture, people had to plow. So it's not a choice whether you like it or not, but when the time is there, you use that resource, you use that opportunity to do your work as you are called to. The fool will neglect both talents and time. Will neglect the talents that God has given him or her, the skills or the gifts that he has created within us, and will just do whatever he or she likes. And that then we also see a lot of wasting our time. We see young people, for example, in college, and the way they study and the way they work on their assignments, they feel like they have all the time of the world. And if they miss this year, if they don't finish all the work of that year, well, there's another year coming. And you just have to talk to your dad and see if he is as good as to provide more what you need. And so however long it takes, you will take your time. That's not wisdom's attitude to time. God has given you time. God has given you the school year. And we are called to use that as a resource, called to use our time to the best of our abilities. And another fundamental principle or difference between the wise and the fool is our attitude, how we look at God's commandments. We read some verses. The fool has no problem sneaking around and doing things in a way that he pleases, and even ignoring the commandments of God, like a false scale, Proverbs says. And there's many means, especially in today's world, where a lot of things go online, and you have these people, right? Maybe you try to buy something on eBay, and there's a beautiful picture of it, and you look at all the whole description, and you think, well, this is a good product, and you go on and buy it, and when you get it in the mail, it doesn't look as good as you thought it would, and or maybe the price in the end, there were some hidden costs that came on top of it, and you are disappointed. Well, that's how fool feels free to work in this world. It's just whatever you can do, how smart you can be to enrich yourself, that's fine. And if you're very smart at it, you can be proud of yourself because you have outsmarted the other. He was not smart enough to see your tricks and to see right through the deception that you put up there. Well, as a wise man, we cannot do that. We will be honest. We will keep in line with all the commandments of God that also apply to our work. Honesty, not lying, not deceiving people, not coveting things around us. All these commandments also apply to the area of work. So the fool, he will make his own laws. He will make his own commandments and follow them. And they are not in line with the Bible. And of course, what we are really talking about, we'll come back to that later, is that this way of working, the wise way of working, will show a godly character. So it's not just an outward thing, how you work and how you speak and how you use your time and what job you choose. It's not just an outward thing, but it shows what's inside the heart. And we're going to come back to that. And the way we work, the way we conduct ourselves in this world, reveals what's inside our heart. Godliness versus ungodliness. So we have spoken briefly about Proverbs, about work. We will now touch on some verses, Proverbs, about success. And let's just follow the same pattern that we used. So we'll read these verses together as they are all dealing with the contrast between what wisdom says and what foolishness says about success. So let us read these verses together. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. All right, so I've been a bit brief about this because it all follows in the same pattern that we have already seen. And I will try to summarize for you or to outline again the contrast that we have when we talk about success. So when do you succeed according to wisdom? Well, you succeed when you have obeyed and honored God. When you have followed God's commandments and respected them, honored these commandments, well, that determines your success. So the success is not as much in the result that you have acquired or the money that you made or the position that you acquired with your work, but have you followed, have you obeyed, have you submitted to God's commandments? And really, when you talk about the fool and how he works or she works, it's all about me. Have I, like I said, realized my potential? Have I obeyed? Have I honored? Have I respected myself? Have I made clear where I stand and where my lines are and that people cannot cross those lines? Have I been able in my work to show fully what I'm worth? And of course then, if you're not promoted the way you hoped for, you will be upset. Because you feel that you were good enough, that you deserved to be promoted in that position. And when you see your colleague being promoted into that position, you feel like they have stepped on your toes, they have stepped in your ground, and they are now hindering you to realize your potential, to show who you are. Another success, another measuring to see whether you succeeded in your work is whether it gives you contentment. Contentment versus self-reliance. Contentment says, we are thankful that God has provided this work. And I have this job, and I believe that this is how I can glorify God. This is where I am supposed to be, in line with the will of the Lord. And I'm content with that. The foolish person relies on himself or herself. And so if you don't feel that you have reached the place where you wanted to be, then also you have to fault yourself and say, I haven't been able to fully do what I wanted to do, and I have to try harder. I have to do better and to realize what you wanted to realize. Practically, also, success means, according to wisdom, that you are able to provide. Now, that's a basic principle. So, success doesn't mean that you have reached a certain amount of money, or that you have acquired that and that position that you have dreamed of. But let's start at the basic, that you are able to provide and that you are content with that. We'll also come back to this element later. While others, the foolish men, will always try to be ahead of others. Then above providing for your family, of course, there is the importance of being able to support church and needy people around you, so that you have enough for you and your family. And when I speak of enough, we may, of course, include certain anticipation of future needs, that you save up some money for times that you can't work. All that is included. That's good. But also a means to support church and needy around you. And of course, it comes back to the same, doesn't it? The way we look at success, the way we look at success in our work, will show whether there is godliness in our heart or not. And that is the major difference between the foolishness and wisdom. All right. So I think that up to this point, perhaps we were quite comfortable. When I looked at you, you look quite comfortable, don't you? And why is that? Well, because I can say that most of us, although I don't know all of you, but most of us, I think, we are raised in this kind of setting. That is how your parents are working. That is what you have been taught in church. And in general, that is like the culture that even within our churches and in our schools, we are trying to create, that we are going to be active, that we work hard. And also we are constantly reminded that this should be there to glorify God and not to glorify ourselves. So, with that feeling of comfort, I just thought it would be good to challenge us, each other, a little bit more. Because I think that even while you appear to walk on the way of wisdom, because these are the two paths, right, that we are contrasting, the path of foolishness and the path of wisdom. Even as you may appear to walk the way of wisdom, I think there are some pitfalls on that path that we need to be aware of. And the first that, and I haven't really ordered them anyway, but I've listed four for you. And the first I want to talk briefly about is the pitfall of self-righteousness or pride. These are thoughts that I've listed and that may have come up in your own heart as you worked, or that you can imagine that may come up in your own life. I achieved these things by my own hard work. Like you bought this real nice car, it's real cool, and your friends are talking about it with, a little bit of envy in their eyes, and you feel, I worked for this. I started working early, I worked for my dad, and I've tried my best, and hey, no wonder that I'm able to buy this real cool car. And if you just would have worked like me, you would have been able to do the same. Pride can easily come into our hearts. I have a right to do well in this life. I've always followed these general concepts of wisdom. I've followed the book of Proverbs. So this now gives me the right to do well. And you're actually expecting that in your life you will do well. You worked from an early age. You went to college. Or you will go to college. And you have your plans. You have your career in your mind. And if you just follow A, B, C, then the result will be that you are able to have a decent life. And of course, the last one is self-explanatory. Right? Look how lazy they are. No wonder that they don't do as well as I do. And yes, they may be lazy and they may be foolish, but the problem is that it creates a sin in your own heart when there is self-righteousness and pride. Another pitfall. Oh, sorry, I forgot. There are proverbs, of course, that address this problem of self-righteousness and pride. I will just read them for you. Proverbs says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Another pitfall that we have to watch out for is the pitfall of materialism. We are working so hard, and we are now able to buy our things. And before we know it, the world around us is prescribing our needs. So what I mean simply is this, that... Sorry, if you can just back up a little bit. One more step back. All right, good. That's fine. So the wisdom of the world prescribes what you need. And so if everyone around you is able to buy a good house when he gets married, well, you feel that that is your need, that you must also be able to buy or build a decent house when you get married. By the way, if you went to bed very late last night, and you struggle with staying awake, then just look at each other, okay, and help your friend, okay? You don't want him to appear as if he is one of these lazy people that wakes up late in the morning or never wakes up. You see, the wisdom of the world tends to prescribe to us what we need. So there's houses, there's cars, and that's just, you know, the little top of the whole list. There's an endless list of things that this world tells us that we need. And so if you think back a little and I said, let's be content when we are able to provide for our family, we have to be very careful because what is required differs from person to person and from family to family. And so very easily in today's world, we may think we need this whole long list of things in order to be content and be happy in this life. And we should not allow the world around us as such to prescribe what we need. Because we can fall in the pitfall of materialism, where actually you are using some of the concepts of wisdom, but the end result will not be wisdom but foolishness, because in the end, your heart has now been filled with the desire for things, for material goods of this world. And in line with that, I see that there is a danger that under the cover of a biblical work ethos, we may lose our heart in our work. It's sad to say, but even people that appear very wise, they are very sound in their theology, they may still fall in this problem of losing their heart in their work. You know, this even applies to people like myself, to pastors or elders or deacons or missionaries. We may lose our heart in our work, that we so much start to love our work and we are so busy in it that in the end, this what we do determines our identity. So if you say, well, who are you? You talk about your work. You talk about all that you do. And then you're actually saying, I am what I do. But that's not a biblical identity. That's not who we are supposed to be as Christians. I am because who I am in the eyes of the Lord. And that is where our identity should be. And of course, very easily, when materialism is all around us, then these needs and our work, they set the rules of our life. So whenever you're making choices, what you're going to do, then the things, the material things that you desire for are going to set your priorities and your rules in your life. Another pitfall. Sorry, I made the same mistake again. Proverbs says, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." That counteracts the materialism that we are prone to fall in. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. I will be a bit more brief on this one. When we are succeeding in the way that we want to succeed, then easily we have a heart that is hard against our neighbor. That there is no compassion, there is no generosity in our heart, because we thought that If everyone will just follow wisdom's path, he will just achieve exactly the same that I have achieved, and there's no need for me to reach out to others and to have compassion on others. Because we think that if they just had been as smart as us, following the way of path or the path of wisdom, they would have achieved the same. So there's a sense of feeling that these things are yours. I have acquired it. I have bought it with my money. And who is going to tell me that I have to share it? Not even the church is going to tell me that I have to share from this money, because it's mine. And we are forgetting that this was just a means to provide for our needs and the needs of others. We are answering our own needs before assisting others. You say, well, yes, I want to give to the church. I want to give to other people. But listen, first I have to buy these things that I need, and I have to save up so much for the future and for my children, and I need still to invest in that other house, and I have to buy more land. And if I've covered all these things, yes, I'm more than willing to give some money to others. But of course, then, even without you realizing it, you have made priorities, you have made choices that may not be the wise and biblical choice that you were supposed to make. And so even when you give to God, even when you give to the church, you do it reluctantly because you feel like you're really making a huge sacrifice of giving some of your own wealth to the Lord, while in fact, that's not what happens. We are just giving something back that belonged to the Lord. The Bible says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." So he who shares some of that water, and it can be scarce, right? Even today in Michigan it is scarce. But he that watereth, he that gives of what he has, will even be blessed himself. And so another pitfall that I wanted to point out to you on this path of wisdom is where there is a certain way of self-deception, that you are fooling yourself. It may be that you say, look, I'm doing well in life. Look at what I have. I've been able to provide for myself. I'm managing properly, and if all goes well, I should be able to save up enough to one day marry that girl I want to get married to, and buy that house in that town where I really would love to live. And looking at my life, it must be that I follow wisdom's path. So you conclude from what you have and from how you are doing, you conclude that your heart is really in line with wisdom. And that may be a form of self-deception, because there are many in this world who are rich and who are wealthy, and yet in their heart they are foolish and ungodly. So we have to be very careful with these things. Even as we read Proverbs and as we follow the path of wisdom, we have to check our heart all the time. Like I said, it's not just about the outward thing, it's what is inside. So we cannot simply conclude from doing well in life to say, well, I must be following the path of wisdom because, look, I'm blessed by the Lord with all these goods. And of course, the other way, of course, as well, where we look at other people and say, look, they are poor, so they must be on the path of folly because they are not doing well. And of course, there are many poor and struggling people in this world who at heart are wise and godly. So we have to be careful making these judgments about ourselves and about others, that we cannot simply conclude from how we are doing in this world from what's inside our heart, whether we are following the pathway of wisdom or the pathway of folly. So as we have looked at what Proverbs says about our work as a calling from the Lord and how we evaluate success, and I've looked at some of the pitfalls. Sorry. That's good, right? Proverbs 28:6 says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich." So that's very clear. That's also Proverbs. Better is the poor. And you may look at him and think, well, he must be lazy, he must be a fool. But the Bible says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich." So the wealth of that person is almost like a cover-up. And it's a disguise. So you would look at that person and think, well, he is blessed by God because he has all these things. But the Lord knows that he is perverse in his ways. So we have to be very careful for this form of self-deception. So that's when we come to our concluding part. As I started out, I said, who is wisdom and how do we obtain it? And so I can say we can't walk the path of wisdom without wisdom himself, without the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to bring that back to you because I felt that even as I prepared this, we grow up in a church and in a culture where we are accustomed to this outward appearance of what is wisdom. Like I said, to work hard, to do your best, to use your time, to use your talents, right? And so very easily you may actually be misleading yourself and say, well, you see, I'm on the way of wisdom. I'm all done. I'm good. And so that's why I pointed out these pitfalls and why I repeat to you and say, without wisdom himself, without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you are not truly walking on this path of wisdom, but you may be actually a fool in disguise. So that's why we need to consider Christ's work and his success. We'll read some verses that refer to this. In John 17, verse 4, the Lord said, this is the high priestly prayer of the Lord at the end of his earthly ministry. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So even the Lord reveals that same attitude that he knew the work he had is the work of his Father, and he fulfills it as a calling from the Lord. And then how he did this. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, the Lord is revealing something to us that in this whole discussion of how we work is so crucial. Not for himself. He didn't come, even him, the Son of God, didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister, and in his life it meant to give his life a ransom for many. And that should also determine the true Christian's way of working. I'm not here for my own interest. I'm not here for my own well-being, first and foremost, but I'm here on earth to give my life, to minister to others, to serve others, even if it means some expenses on your part, even if it means in following the Lord Jesus to give your life for the well-being of others. So we may say that the New Testament, and we are not surprised, clearly confirms what Proverbs says about work and calling. I will just read the next verse regarding this. In addition to what I said, that the New Testament confirms what Proverbs says, we may also say that the New Testament adds something. And that's, of course, the whole relation between the Old and the New Testament, right? The New Testament completes and fulfills the Old Testament. And also it does so with respect to our topic of today, respecting work. The Lord Jesus warned us very seriously and said, verily I say unto you, that the rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. So as we work hard, as we get the possessions, as we are blessed by the Lord, be careful. A rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. Because, of course, the danger is that we trust in our riches, that we trust in our wealth. Matthew 6:19 speaks on this as well. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No man can serve two masters. I said there is the inside part of us and the outside part of us, and they should be in agreement, right? And there's a danger for us that we serve two masters. That on the outside we appear to serve God and to follow wisdom, but on the inside not yet, and that we are not serving the Lord Himself personally. You cannot serve God and mammon. But then the comfort also that the Lord gave us, your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So the New Testament clearly agrees, of course, with what Proverbs says, but then it also helps us in more detail to understand how a Christian should work and treat work as a calling that we have. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." We have, again, that keyword of contentment that we have already touched on earlier. So again, I want to give you a summary and as a conclusion of our topic this morning. As we look at wisdom's calling, what is our calling in life, and how can we fulfill our calling in a wise way and not in a foolish way? Well, first of all, wisdom is to seek to glorify God in your work instead of being occupied with self-realization. We have discussed that. That our aim, that our focus, that our heart is towards God and not towards ourselves primarily. And only when our hearts will be right with God, that's where all the other relationships also will become right in the eyes of God. And that's the second conclusion that we have listed here. That we succeed within the framework of God's commandments instead of bending God's commandments for your own personal gain. Now the conclusion is that we learn from the book of Proverbs that we are to be diligent and to maintain the right priorities, even as we are young and as we are just getting into this whole area of work, that we maintain the right priorities. How often do you hear that someone cannot make it to youth group, or someone cannot make it to church or certain activities, or cannot help someone or serve another person because of work? And sometimes these are good and proper reasons. But at the same time, we have to keep checking and testing our own priorities. Are my priorities right? Or am I really serving myself first before I even have time to think or consider to serve others? And I think we live in a society, we are in a culture where we seem to be able to make our own life. I think that's in general what we have in the European or North American culture. That we are able to make our own life. Like I said, if you just do your best, and if you are succeeding in school, if you get the right grades, and if you choose the right college, and get the right career, then you are able to manage, to build your own life. And that is a dangerous thought. Because indeed, you may be able to make a life. But what is that life worth in light of eternity? And what is the worth of that life in light of God's word and in light of our soul? And so there is a danger that comes to us from culture that surrounds us all from every side, that as long as you do well on earth here, you feel secure. And of course, that is the greatest danger that can surround us, and that can keep us from seeking your own spiritual well-being, that can keep us from desiring for heaven, that can keep us from searching for the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation, because it gives us the idea that our lives are well off when we are established in this world. And so even our topic of today, talking about our work, our success, it should lead us back to our need for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Our need for His salvation. Our need to have the basis and the foundation of your life right. That He places you on the path of wisdom. That you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as the wisdom. And if we do not start there, even though you may appear to walk the way of wisdom, you are still missing wisdom at heart. So our work should also be in light of eternity, in light of of the spiritual needs that are ours and are these worlds, and that we seek Christ first and the kingdom of Christ first, seek the Lord first before we make sure that our life in this world is established. And of course, these verses that we read from the Gospel and from the New Testament tell us very clearly that where our priorities must be. And so we may be suffering this world. We may not do as well as your friends. But as long as our priorities are right, we are in the right way. And so let us not be confused and deceived by just the things that are around us, but that our hearts may truly be bound by the Word of God. And that we start our lives, even as we are growing up, into this whole area of work and of a life of providing for our families and for others, that we start out the right way, that we have our priorities right, that we start to seek the Lord, and that we let the Word of God determine our life in every aspect, including work. So that we make our work subject to the kingdom of God. Because that is the largest picture, so to say. You know, work may so be centered on ourselves, but the largest picture that we have is the kingdom of God. And that's what the Lord is working on, so to say. That's why he gave his son to bring the kingdom of God, and that's why he's working on people even today, that the kingdom of God may come. So let it not happen that you are so busy with this world and this work that you have, and that you are missing the kingdom of God, because then you have missed the most important part. Make our work subject to the kingdom of God. And in summary, it means that you live a life in dependency on Christ Jesus. Not to make this life look like wisdom, but to really live a wise life. And the wisest choice is to surrender the life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to give your talents, to give your time, to give who you are, and say, Lord, please take it. Take who I am and use me in a way that is pleasing thee, that I may depend on Christ, that I may live and work like Christ, and that my identity is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That if someone asks you, who are you? That the most important answer you can give is who you are in the eyes of God. Am I saved by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? If that's going to be your identity, then all the other things will also follow and fall in place. So in the end, the wisdom's approach is a life in dependency on Christ, while the foolish approach is a life of rejecting Christ. Amen.